Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. You're listening to Current Issues, and I am your host, Hisham Tilawi, along with Mark Glynn of the American Free Press. And we also understand that we do have Dr. Frederick Tobin joining us from Australia. Without losing and wasting any time, let me go directly to Dr. Tobin. Welcome to the program, sir.
Hello, Dr. Tilawi. How are you? Nice to be speaking with you again.
Same here, same here. Now, we only have a few minutes left before the break, but I wanted to spend as much time talking about exactly what's going on. You were supposed to go to court last Tuesday, wasn't it?
Yes, and I did, and I agreed to make an apology concerning various items that allegedly are offensive, and in particular we had one item that was a little bit rude and crude, and so I had no hesitation in apologizing.
Okay.
And what happened then was that the Jewish News wrote it up as my having given a Holocaust denial apology. And that rips the whole thing wide open again. And so that's where we're at the moment.
Now, don't you think this is an attempt by them to drag you and entrap you into actually getting in more trouble than you probably already are with in Australia?
Indeed. What's happened is that they went from a particular, for example, there are 144 words or expressions that I was about to delete from our website, and that's a particular, but the Jewish News has turned that into the issue of the Holocaust, and we've got that problem because even going back to 1996 when we started on the Human Rights Commission case, the commissioner stated quite clearly that what is before the tribunal is not, and I quote, the ludicrous suggestion that the Holocaust didn't occur. In other words, the Holocaust as such was not an issue. The issue was whether certain words and phrases and sentences could be deemed to be offensive to the Jewish community.
Okay. Now, when we come back, Dr. Tobin, from the break, I'm sure a lot of our listeners probably not familiar with you. We're going to go very briefly into who Dr. Frederick Tobin is, what you are working on, and you were imprisoned, I believe, for 9 months in Germany?
7 months, yes.
7 months. Basically trying to rewrite history. And we will talk about this Holocaust and you being a denier, what all that means. But, of course, that's going to take a little bit more time than what we have now before the break. And, of course, we do have your friend Mark Glynn with us. Mark?
Hi, Mark.
Dr. Tobin, it is an honor. Here I'm in the company of two doctors. I hope I don't get sick.
Don't worry about the titles. It's what the thoughts that count.
I agree. I tell that to Tilawi all the time whenever he tries to shove that PhD down my throat.
Now, you had to bring that up, Mark. But I tell you what, we will catch this and everything else and your phone calls, 800-313-9443. We will be right back.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear. And here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Do you have a high electric bill? Do you use an electric company that just provides you expensive electricity? Not anymore. Visit www.energy-swap.com and take advantage of a new way to save on your monthly energy bill. Allow Energy Swap to switch your provider and receive the same reliable service and the best rewards program in the industry. Save up to 20% on your electric bill. Rates as low as 10.99 cents per kilowatt. No cost to switch. Flat rate plans. Reward program. What more could you ask for? A free gift. Try Energy Swap and receive a free getaway for two. Sign up today. 888-238-6397. That's 888-238-6397. Visit our website, www.energy-swap.com, and use the tool generator to calculate how much you can save on your monthly energy bill. 888-238-6397. Currently in Texas and New York only. Other states coming soon.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Current Issues, the radio show. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we are discussing an issue that is extremely important. We will get into it, the Holocaust, but right now, let's go ahead and see if Dr. Tobin would tell us what the Adelaide Institute is and what is a revisionist historian is that you... A lot of people very much give you the title of the revisionist historian. What is it that you do, doctor?
I give government and other people grief because I refuse to believe in things that are simply dished up without my not being given an opportunity to think things through. And this means in politics, in economics, in all human endeavor, a kind of guiding principle is if I hear anything, is this true or is this just puffery? Is it just hot air? Is it just advertising? And this, of course, brings into question then what I believe in. It develops my kind of world view, what I consider to be important in life, and ultimately it enables me to be at home within myself, so that I don't have to scapegoat, that I do not have to kick the dog or kick the wife or shout at somebody, that I have clarified the basic problems that come upon us during the course of our being alive, that I can cope with this. And some people find that uncomfortable, because it's easy to just kick the dog and have a scapegoat and blame, for example, in our business, the Holocaust, if I define it. It's the allegation that Germans during the Second World War exterminated European Jewry in homicidal gas chambers. Therefore, since the Second World War, this concept, this idea that the Germans did this, has become a dogma, and it has reached the point where you cannot discuss anything about it. It has to be accepted, or you are then called a hater, a Holocaust denier, an anti-Semite, a neo-Nazi, a racist, and even now a terrorist. And therefore, these thrustings, this essential human condition of battle of the wills, of fighting, of asserting yourself and so on, has to be brought within a framework, within a moral and intellectual framework, where we can then sit together and think things through, talk about it quite openly, freely, and then resolve the issues. Because the issues will be there, because no human being is the same. This business of that we are all equal should be reformulated to say that we should have justice to guide us in this business.
So, Doctor, are you a Holocaust denier?
Again, I would then have to say, according to the definition, I would then like to know, which Holocaust are you talking about? This concept, Holocaust, comes from the Greek. It means burnt offerings. And many Germans would immediately think of the saturation bombings of their German cities, especially Dresden, Hamburg, and Pforzheim, and so on. And that was a Holocaust. And nobody can deny that physically happened.
But now the Holocaust that we're talking about, which is everybody, when they hear the word Holocaust, it's when the Germans killed the Jews.
Yes and no. This definition is slipping away, because the Jews themselves refer to this period of history as the Shoah. And therefore, to now say, the Holocaust, it's already... Well, I must add, we are usually 5 or so years ahead of public opinion. We are, as the German word describes as well, we are Vordenker. We are thinkers who are way ahead of what public opinion is all about. And that is why a number of people who are in power feel that we are threatening their worldview by even questioning what they are doing, especially in politics. And if we want to concretize that immediately, we go, of course, to the present Palestinian conflict, where we see the Holocaust having a direct effect on what's going on with the Palestinians, how the Jews are really subjugating since 49, since the State of Israel was established, how they are still to this very day suffering.
Okay, so doctor, are you saying that historians got it wrong when they say, now I don't know about the number, I mean the number keeps changing, of the Jews who died in these concentration camps and were liberated by the Allies, mainly the United States and of course Russia too at the time. So are you saying that Jews did not die by the millions in German custody?
You see, immediately in a war situation, people die, as Arthur Butz would have said. And therefore, your question immediately, I could not say, of course they didn't. Of course many did. There is no question about it, because this kind of material, there is plenty of material available to show that people were actually died and actually were killed. But the actual claim of the Holocaust believers is that the Jews specifically were killed in homicidal gas chambers. And there I say, with Forreston, Robert Forreston, show me or draw me the homicidal gas chamber. And to date, nobody has done that.
Okay. So, okay, how many do you think died? I mean, forget about the 6 million if you don't believe in the 6 million. How many died? 1,000?
Well, again, it's a changing figure. You've got... it ranges from 10 million to 300,000. The this is why.
Now, what number would you accept? What number would you accept?
I don't know, because the for example, specifically at Auschwitz, the figures have changed. In the Ernst Sundel case in 1988, the figures were to 4 million. 4 years later, these plaques at Auschwitz, the 20 of them, they had the 4 million figure on them. They were eliminated, and then they were reduced to 1 to 1.5 million. But in 2002, Fritjof Meyer, the Spiegel editor, he reduced this number to about 300,000.
Okay, do you personally...
And not at Auschwitz. This is why I have a great problem with the factual argument, and we need to have this freedom that we still have in the United States with that First Amendment, that we can openly discuss these matters without being branded and labeled Holocaust deniers and whatever.
Okay. So what is it that you... Okay, do you accept the 300,000 figure?
Well, to date, but we have not been able to openly discuss this. Now, what
okay.
they've done is...
How did they die? How did the 300,000 figure that you believe in, how did they die?
Oh, yeah, no, I don't believe in that. No, this is the latest claim. I'm objectively looking at this Fritjof Meyer claim. He says that 300,000, they were gassed in farmhouses outside the Auschwitz complex. This is a new... You see, the story keeps on changing. This is the problem.
Doctor, I
okay.
have a...
So we've got, for example, the Germans have an aerosol tracing, international tracing service run by the Red Cross. They have an archive of kilometers or miles long filing systems. They've got all this information available. Now, they are opening the archives, and now people are saying, oh, now we'll find the truth about the Holocaust. But there we have exactly what they did with me in the court case here in Adelaide. We were talking about specific items, and then the media says, ha, he is now apologizing because I've already got the label Holocaust denier, so they're saying he is apologizing, it gives a Holocaust denial apology. That's how the deception occurs.
Go ahead, Mark, jump in.
Dr. Tobin, when we're dealing with, the Jewish lobby or the Zionists, whatever you want to call them, they're perfectly willing to engage in all kinds of historical revisionism. For example, when it deals with the life and times of Jesus Christ, or whether it deals with what Islam really teaches, or the history of Islam, or whatever. And so the question that I would ask you is this. Why is it that these people who are so willing to engage in historical revisionism, when it deals with other people, why are they so fanatical and irrational when it comes to this, their baby, the Holocaust? What is your opinion on that?
Yeah, my view is that, and I only learned this in Tehran, because it's directly associated with the State of Israel. It is Israel's number one propaganda weapon. It's the shield and the sword. What they're doing to the Palestinians is immediately deflected. They say, well, but we lost 6 million. And this is why we have to, once somebody starts talking like that, we have to then look at the matter. And the Iranian president did this very well by having that conference last year in December, where the issue was
Doctor, stay with me. Hold on to that thought. We have a break coming up. We will be right back.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Stand up and be counted. Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist Bush's impending unjust attack against Iran. George W. Bush lied to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iraq. Now he is lying to the world to get the backing of the American people to attack Iran. The Catholic and Protestant clergy have failed miserably to come out publicly against the upcoming unjust attack of Iran. Therefore, the lay Catholics and Protestants should demand of their respective clergies to take a righteous public stand against this upcoming Iranian unjust war. Each one of us will render to God a strict account of what each of us did to stop these diabolical tyrants, like George W. Bush, who, as roaring lions, go about the world seeking whom to murder. For additional facts concerning this upcoming Iranian unjust war, order the one-hour lecture by Father John Martinez entitled Stand Up and Be Counted. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on the web banner for more information and ordering.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. We are talking with Dr. Frederick Taubin of the Adelaide Institute in Australia, and we're discussing his latest run with the court system, and supposedly he apologized for something happening on his website, and then he withdrew that apology. Now, before we get into the specifics of what you were supposed to remove, Dr. Taubin, what difference does it make now, 60 years after the fact? What's the significance of rewriting history, of getting to the truth, if even people in Germany have accepted the fact that 6 million Jews had perished in World War II?
I fully understand this. The problem is that if you believe in a lie, understanding of world history becomes distorted. It has been so distorted, and we noticed that when the Iranians had the conference last year in December, it was revising of, it was not a revising of the Holocaust, but a review of the facts. And all Western democracies were vehemently opposed to this conference going ahead because, as the president of Iran stated, in the Western democracies, you can deny everything, including the existence of God, but you cannot deny the Holocaust. So we are at a moral and intellectual decline in the West, so much so that I've just come back from China, where the Chinese are laughing at the Western democracies because they know that this Holocaust, and as the Russians do as well, that this Holocaust ideology has supplanted the concept of democracy, and we haven't got a democracy anymore. And this brings so many problems to the individual who simply wants to do his or her thing and then asks simple questions about history, and they then have to accept this dogma. And
okay.
At the Tehran conference, I presented a talk about Treblinka, and I headed this as the logistics problem, meaning that we are actually looking at the physical facts. And I'm glad to see that the Barnes Review will be running the My Treblinka article in the next edition. Now, this court case in Adelaide has shown up what is happening, the tactics. On the one hand, they have a particular. For example, a statement is made and its content is deemed to be offensive. So I remove that, and then they can say...
What was the statement, Doctor?
Have I got that? Let me just have a look. I can just quickly...
I mean,
find
it doesn't have to be the same, but I mean, briefly, what it says.
It is a lie fabricated exclusively by Semites, for example, or more Holocaust rubbish, or Holocaust lies, or historical lies such as the drummed up 6 million lies, or the holo hoax is a lie. In other words, these are statements within articles that are said to be have an imputation that, for example, Jews do this for improper purposes, like this statement, exposing the Holocaust is a gigantic lie that primarily serves to justify the continued existence of racist Israel as a European colonial creation within the Middle East. This view supports the contention that the Middle East belongs to Islam, and so on. You can see that little items out of articles are pulled out and then deemed to be offensive, and they then fulfill the category in the Racial Discrimination Act in Australia that this statement is likely, note the word likely, is likely to offend someone.
So are you putting those statements back?
No, I have started deleting, and I haven't deleted others. So I've just...
Okay. Now, what happens to you? Would you be defying this court order to remove them? What will happen to you? Will you be facing like a jail sentence here?
Yes. But the point is, we had this consent order drawn up that I would delete everything, but because they have twisted the matter in the Jewish press, I have stopped deleting, and we will then be reverting to the original plan of having a court case.
But what would the Jewish press have to do with a
contempt of court? I'll be facing 3 to 6 months plus.
Okay, Dr. Tobin, what does the Jewish press have anything to do with a court order?
Well, it quotes the article. I'm now saying that if the agreement, the consent agreement that we had, if that implies that I gave a Holocaust denial apology, then this agreement I reject. So we never...
I see,
I treated it in good faith. I made the court orders, and I responded in good faith.
Very good.
And now they've twisted it.
Very good, Doctor. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to go to some calls. We have callers waiting. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car. And a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you. Because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody. Because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Current Issues, and we're coming to you live from the Republic Broadcasting Network. Let me take a moment to thank everyone who joined us in the chat room. And fortunately, it is hard to participate in the chat room and concentrate on the show and do the show. So I apologize for not participating in all these great conversations that are going on in the chat room. So I thank everybody who made it to the chat room, but I do know that Mark is in there and he's having some arguments in there, so as Mark does. Tell you what, our phone number is 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. Give us a call and ask the doctor anything you want to ask the doctor about. But let's go to Canada with Byron. Go ahead, Byron.
Great guest you got today. I've read a little bit of his stuff, but anyhow, I got two questions and a comment. And you sort of answered the one there. The one was The first one is my niece's husband come from Germany about, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, and I asked him about the Holocaust, and he goes, well, I've seen the gas chambers. And I told him, and I think I'm right, that the Russians rebuilt, supposedly, the gas chambers after the liberation. I think that's correct. And the second question I'd like to ask you, there's stuff that's been going around about the, and I'm going to butcher it, the Reichstag fires, I think, or supposedly that Hitler started to get his war going. Is that true? Did Hitler start that? And third, is the reason, maybe one of the reasons that the Holocaust can't be discussed is because of the involvement of the Jews and the Zionists with Hitler? I'll hang up and I'll listen to your comments. Thank you.
Thanks, Byron. Dr. Tobin?
Yep. Concerning, if someone says, look, I saw the gas chambers at Auschwitz and everywhere else, what they saw or what they looked at was merely a room. And the old challenge of Forreston comes to mind immediately, show me or draw me the homicidal gas chambers. And nobody can do it. They're merely shown a room, and then this somber verbiage is placed before them that this is where it happened. But if one looks into the details, then it disappears. For example, there are still people going through Auschwitz Stammlager Kremmer 1 where the tourist guides say this was the gas chamber, when in fact in 1996 Jewish Robert Jan van Pelt and Deborah Dwork, in their book Auschwitz from 1270 to the present, decommissioned this so-called gas chamber and said, oh, it was made to look and symbolically represent what happened at Kremmer 2 in the Auschwitz-Birkenau camp. And, you know, holes were knocked into it to suggest that this is where the gas was thrown in. And if we, on closer investigation, these stories fall apart. This is the problem that we have when people from Germany come along. The other point is, if you have any German who's slightly aware or interested in these things and hasn't repressed this to a psychotic, I won't say it, then you'll find that they're fearful of the law because the Section 130 of the Penal Code prevents them from even thinking about these things. Nowadays, for example, Gerhard Rudolph and Ernst Sundel, who are in prison in Germany, the court does not need proof that, physical proof, that these things happened, that these allegations of gassings occurred. It is enough for them, for these accused persons to be in a German court, that is enough for them to be sentenced. Now, concerning the Reichstag fire, I'm not quite familiar with it. I don't buy into these things. Likewise, with the Nazi Zionists, there is the Havre Agreement. There is enough material on the Internet to suggest that they did work together because they were both sort of nationalists. It did break down after a while. On the other side, you have the National Socialists working together with the Mufti of Jerusalem. And so the whole period there has to be looked at again. And this is what came out of that Tehran conference, that if this period of the Holocaust is an actual historical fact, and generally we would say, yes, that is a fact, then, of course, the next thing is, well, like any other historical fact, let's investigate it. And those who oppose this are fearful of the truth coming out. Now, let me just, if I may, just continue with that Jewish matter in Australia, where the Jewish press says that we can't, where the Mr. Lewis, the barrister, solicitor for the other side says, we can't control the headlines. In that article, Tobin gives Holocaust denial apology in court. Indeed, they can, because I firmly state there is a Jewish conspiracy. And if you, and you'd better do it quickly,
Go to our website and look at the newsletter, December 2007, number 363. There is a letter from the Executive Council of Australian Jury written by Mr. Alan Goldberg. Now, this Mr. Alan Goldberg is from the Chairman Anti-Defamation Committee in 84, 85. He is now a judge in the federal court. Here we have quite clear evidence how pressure is applied to prominent people in society by Jewish organizations. But I don't mind that. I hesitate to say that's a conspiracy. What I say then is don't blame the Jews, blame those that bend to their pressure. Because this Mrs. Steele in this letter, she did not bend to the pressure. Therefore, she had moral and intellectual courage. And so the scapegoating of saying the Jews are doing all this stuff, let's forget that. Let's not play the victim. Let's point out that we can stand firm. And I hope that this is how individuals regard me by initially agreeing to a consent order to clarify things and apologize for rude and crude things. But then when it's twisted to say that I'm apologizing for the Holocaust and so on, for being a denier, then we have to stand firm and accept the consequences, even if it means going into prison and facing uncomfortable months and perhaps years, as Gemma Rudolph and Ernst Zundel have done, and Wolfgang Fröhlich and others.
Now, Dr. Tobin, Byron stated the fact that some of these gas chambers were built after the war, and then somebody in the chat room just mentioned that those gas chambers were built at Auschwitz 2 years after the so-called liberation. Do you have any idea why were they built?
Well, again, it's not. This is the wrong terminology. They were not gas chambers. They were mortuaries. This was part of the hospital complex, and you had mortuaries, you had incinerators, you had, for example, what we mix up is the gas chamber.
Now, let me ask you this, doctor. If that's what it was, yeah, and if the person in the chat room is correct that they were built 2 years after, are you telling me they were burning bodies, or they needed to build these mortuaries and incinerators 2 years after to burn the bodies?
No, they weren't. They were rebuilt, reconstructed. The crematory was dynamited. And there's a worry about who did that. Some say the Germans did it to get rid of the evidence. But you have the gas chamber concept and the crematorium oven concept.
Okay, so you're saying
you
the crematoriums were,
and these bodies were burnt. And
so you're saying they were rebuilt 2 years after the war?
Not rebuilt. They were, because there was damage. They were then reconstructed. For example,
but why would they do that 2 years after the war? Did they have bodies to cremate even
after? To develop the Holocaust myth of the gas chamber, so that they could show something to tourists. So what they did, they brought the crematorium ovens, for example, at Crema 1. They reconstructed the whole thing, and Forreston found that they, because they were sold, this is, again, you have to realize that what they said, this is the original, this is the gas, the crematorium oven. And Forreston went in there, had a look, and said, why is there no soot left from it having been used? So they had to admit that it was reconstructed.
Okay.
But this is all, it's a particular that is in some sense irrelevant, because it has nothing to do with the so-called gas chamber. Because the overarching concept is, oh, this is the gas chamber, when in fact it was a mortuary and a crematorium oven.
Okay.
That's how...
I'm wondering what happened with Mark. Is he probably went to sleep?
Actually, I'm cooking Lebanese food.
Oh, you're cooking Lebanese food.
You're already thinking of food again. That's so important, isn't it?
Hey, when you've got 8 kids to feed, yes, it is.
I know. And it's a full-time job, too. I'm amazed that you find time to appear on this show.
Me, too. Remind Hisham of that.
He has no
your duty as a father.
He has no choice.
I think there's gladness when he disappears for a while.
I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Mark, you have any questions for Dr. Tobin?
No, actually,
if I may, please have a look at our newsletter. Go to our website, www.adelaideinstitute.org, and click on newsletters. And 363 shows you how we can prove that Jews do subject others who are prominent in society to pressure. And it is the people who bend to the pressure I focus on, not the Jews exerting pressure, because the very fact that I'm active, I'm also asserting pressure. It's the battle of the wills and all that stuff. But
now, doctor,
in the civilized way.
Doctor, let me ask you this. I mean, if for some reason, which I doubt, but let's say that your view and others who have the same view like you of the Holocaust, even if it comes out, you know what, yes, these people were right, the revisionists were right, what difference would it make in today's day?
It would liberate a lot of people from historical lies that twist their personal points of view, their worldview of an understanding of what happened, what happens now, and what happened years ago during
the Second World War. What difference will it make today? I mean, these people have a lot of influence over governments, over the press, over a lot of people. Now, will that influence vanish overnight if we get down to the truth?
It will liberate people. People will simply then say, hey, wait a minute. If this isn't true, what other lies are being forced down our throats through the media and so on? I mean, this is the beauty of the Internet, Hisham, that, I mean, you know this so well yourself. We have liberated ourselves. Our weapon of mass instruction is the Internet. It's like that printing press when that came through in the 15th century or 16th century. People did not have to be mediated anymore. You did not have to rely on somebody else to explain to you what life is all about. The immediacy is there. You have the information and you get your mind to thinking. And this automatically then stops scapegoating as well, because you stop blaming others for something that occurs, because you can see this is why things are happening.
Very good,
Doctor.
Go ahead, Mark.
I do have something to ask him. I have read articles indicating that this whole idea of 6 million Jews perishing, that it didn't, they actually tried to get this blimp off the ground following World War One, where you had certain Jewish groups who were claiming that there were 6 million Jews in Poland who had died. And
yeah.
Is this true? Have you read this?
Yes. There is a book out, Margaret Stuckey, she wrote a book, and others have looked into this, Hedesheimer, Don Hedesheimer, the first Holocaust, where they talked about the 6 million. It appears that it is from a Jewish religious text in prophecy, where it says they will be returning to their kingdom on earth if less 6 million. Therefore, it's a prophecy. This is the whole problem. I haven't gone into this because I'm focusing on the physical, factual side of things, that anyone with a religious interest can find this, that there is some, this, and this is why the Holocaust has become so all-embracing for Zionist Christians and for others. They have accepted the fact that there is some text somewhere that says the Jews, the Messiah will come with
if the Jews have lost their 6 million or something like that. So it's a great worry for me to even be talking about this, because I lack the information on this aspect, but it is there.
Okay. Interesting.
Very good. Dr. Tobin, I just want to say thank you very much, sir, for coming on the program at such a very short notice. And now what's next for you? Will you be going back to court?
Yes. I will be informing the judge on tomorrow or late tonight by email that I seek a full trial. And this will then clarify matters, most likely in the new year. And this will give me an opportunity to be given natural justice, a right of reply to all items, because if I don't get that, then I'll have the same trickery coming my way as occurred just this week.
Very good, Doctor. We wish you well.
Is there an address where people can send donations for your legal fund? You must have been
until the next time. And have a nice Christmas and the New Year
Dr. Tobin, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Mark asked you, for those people listening who want to support you and support your legal fund, I'll tell you what, I hear the music coming up, but stay with me, because we need to give the people information of how to support
you. The address is on there. We need lots of funds. The address, the physical box address is 3300... Norwood, Norwood, 5067, Australia.
Very good.
But it's on
Thank
the website.
You, sir. Thank you.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement, Focus Factor, absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself, absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the last segment of the program for this week. And I want to say that we have 21 people in the chat room. That beats last week's of 15. I think last week we had the most we had in the chat room were 15 people. Now I'm looking at 21 people, so I thank everyone who made it to the chat room. And let's make this chat room one of the most important chat rooms and most valuable chat rooms to come to for real discussions. Of course, we're still in the beginning of that real discussion. Mark, what do you think will happen if the world finally realizes that, you know what, this Holocaust thing was nothing but a holy hoax? Anything will change, you think?
I think that it would lead to a chain reaction of sorts that would cause people to start questioning everything, which is one of the reasons why I leave the whole Holocaust question open, because of the fact that the Zionists lie about everything, so why should I believe them when it comes to this?
Listen, Mark, the people in the world know that Zionists lied about Palestine, that this whole thing about them being the chosen people and the inheritance of Abraham and all this stuff, people know the truth now and nothing happens. We see the Palestinians dying every day. Nothing is lifting a finger to help those poor souls. So why would people, plus, you know, the media is going to put a huge twist on if, in fact, I mean, we are saying a big if, in fact, if the world realizes that, hey, you know what, this Holocaust really did not happen the way the Zionist movement want us to believe. Nothing is going to happen, in my opinion. I don't think we will see Germany going back to the German people. We will not see the United States going back to the American people. We'll not see Palestine going back to the Palestinians. It's a fact of life. Live with it.
I can tell you one thing that is going to happen this week.
What's that?
The airing of the video speech of Ahmadinejad that he prepared for our conference out in California. We are going to be putting it on the internet this week if we can get this DVD to work right. It is a fantastic speech that he made specifically for our conference, and it is something hopefully that is going to get a lot of attention from the major media outlets. And I tell you, I cannot be more happy over this DVD after having seen it. It is fantastic, and that this man actually took time out of his busy schedule to make this for us, I think it's very important.
I see. Well, I tell you what, that DVD, I did receive a copy you sent, and we'll run it through the encoder, and it will be on Google's very, very soon for everyone to see and hear. And Frederick Tobin is a man fighting actually by himself. He's an army, a one-man army, and he's really making a big dent in this question of the Holocaust. For everyone who wants to help Dr. Frederick Tobin, please go to the AdelaideInstitute.org, AdelaideInstitute.org. And I hear the music, Mark, which means that is it until next week. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Mark, for being with us.
Take care.
Thank you, and go do the right thing, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you next week. Good night.